Welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have John joining me for another episode, a Wisconsin preview, a 7-3 Illinois football team, a 21st ranked Illinois football team in a college football playoffs. 3 out of 4 years now, John, that Illinois has seen its name in the college football playoff rankings. Are we the new Wisconsin?
Are we better than Wisconsin? And are we celebrating by putting on our party shirts? That's what many are asking.
I am wearing my party shirt, and this isn't my normal AI Zoom background either. But, you know,
it would be cool if it was.
I was going to say,
if that was always it.
When Illinois football is 7-3, even when you're on your honeymoon, you got to record a 30-minute session talking about Illinois football, because you may only have one. I shouldn't say you may. My wife would kill me. You will only have one honeymoon in your life, but how many times is Illinois football 7-3? Equally rare, possibly.
Mm-hmm,
but yeah, I brought the party shirt out today. It's a party. It's going to be bowl season soon enough. We're going to go somewhere warm, so I might as well get the party started early.
This is why you subscribe to us on YouTube, so that you can see Dan bring out the party shirt and see his sick honeymoon background, because he doesn't even have the auto generated, so it's just looking like he's in like a billionaire's lair right now.
I wish it were that nice. It does have a nice look to it, though. I feel like I'm in Brett Bielema's office, and then pitch me on why I should go to Illinois right now, John. You're Brett Bielema.
In 3 of the last 4 years, something has been done in Illinois that is a rarity, and that's the type of juice that I bring to this program, and we need guys like you to continue that on. And I'm also just all knowing as a ball guy, so come play for me. That's really, I'm, if
hey,
anything,
coach, put it there.
Yeah. Hey, if anything, I don't need you. You need me. That's what he should say. But
yeah,
I was trying to be nice about it.
I'm going to be the recruit that's asking about how much NIL money I should be getting. What can I expect here at Illinois?
You know, not enough. I always try to get my players more. He like said something about that this week, which I thought was pretty funny. And I wonder if he says that to the players, like, hey, I know that, you know, you're worth a lot more to me, but you're also worth the most at Illinois. And you go somewhere else, you might make a bit more money in year one, but in year two and year three, you're gonna be back out on the streets wishing you were at Illinois. So I wonder if that's actually like not his whole sell like that. It's probably way more refined, way better than what we are spouting right now. But I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of does the whole like, yeah, it's, you know, we're not at the top tier of the salary cap, but you're going to make your most value and then probably make the most money in the NFL, hopefully, if you stick here at Illinois.
I assume he's as earnest as he seems. I'm talking about family, and like, he doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to say one thing and do another. Like, I think he's pretty straight up with his players, and that's been reflected in the retention and what we've seen, you know, the commitment, the buy-in, you know, families coming down for Mother's Day and, you know, Dad's Day, Mom's Day, and getting participation points in practice. So I don't know. I would love to see a Brett Bielema pitch, but hopefully he's keeping some stuff close to the vest that, you know, he uses that makes him stand out. We know with his attention to detail, even the visits, like the little things they do, it goes, you know, the extra mile. And I think those are the differentiators in recruiting that helps you win some of these battles and gets you on the trajectory we're on right now, which is, you know, a ascending path with, you know, hopefully, I don't know, the playoff picture. There still is a little bit of a path. I saw Kay Ford saying, you know, there's 20 teams that still are technically alive. Illinois was in that mix, and you need a bunch of games to fall your way in the next 2 weeks for that to be possible. But the fact that we're still in the conversation here as we sit here in mid-November is, I mean, just think back to where we were 5-6 years ago, or 6-7 years ago.
Oh,
and
no.
Did you see that clip from the women's basketball game?
I didn't.
It was they do every year a field trip game, and all the schools in the area send their kids to the game. I think they play the game midday.
Oh yeah, I did see this clip. Yep.
And there were two moments. There was a free throw where it was 6-6 to make it 6-7. And the video of the kids going crazy is just, those were the days. Something that dumb being that just entertaining for everybody was incredible. And then later in the game, there was a three-pointer. I think Illinois was at 64, hit a three-pointer to go to 67, and the crowd just went berserk. And it's just like 13,000 fourth graders going crazy, just going, oh. Insane.
It's so funny. Even like I saw the Packers official like Twitter account put out, because the score was 6-7, and there was a play where like a wide receiver bobbled the ball and it was incomplete. And you just have the ref coming going over, going like this, and they literally capped that and tweeted out. And I was like, oh, it's kind of weird that they. And then I see, I'm kind of glad that I'm old enough that I didn't realize what was going on. But then everyone boosting it on social media because the score was 6-7 and he was doing the thing. I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And no, we're not getting a 6-7 score prediction from the boys. I can guarantee you that.
The other good one I saw was the Bulls were playing the 76ers, and at the end of the bench they were doing the introductions before the game, and it was in Chicago. Benny the Bull was standing next to the 76ers, and he had their logo on a like a whiteboard, and whoever it was, I don't know if it was Joel Embiid or someone else that was coming down after their name was announced, and Benny the Bull just ripped the sheet of paper, and it said, instead of 76ers, it said 67ers, and he started going like this right in the face, and whoever it was just like shoved him to the ground. And I was like, oh, that's good creative marketing. But no, I don't think it'll be a 6-7 game, but I do know that Illinois has, 6-7 victories right now. That's a bad transition.
Okay.
That's a bad
Well, we
transition.
did it. We did it. And now we're gonna have to. Do we think that the meme will still be Brett Bielema gets his 67th win in program history? Do we think that the meme is still in? So he's at what,
Here's
35
the
right
transition
now?
for you. Are you ready for this one?
Oh
We hope we didn't talk about Maryland. We took a week. We took a bye week off, even though it wasn't a bye week for the team. We took a bye week and we held Maryland to 6 points to get to our seventh victory. So there's the
There it
transition.
is.
Just trying so hard right now.
Yep. Yeah, we so talking about Maryland instead of some stupid meme, people are gonna be like, oh wow, I'm really glad that the field pass is back. They took that week off, and I'm really looking forward to their content. And then the first 10 to 15 minutes are just us talking about some stupid meme. And you
Yeah.
know what? That's it. Honestly, in full transparency, I would probably rather talk about the 6-7 meme than recapping Rutgers and Maryland, because
Do we
Rutgers was.
have a number, not to cut you off, but do we have a number 67 on the roster right now? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Who
That's a great
is.
question. Is it one of the little
You might have to go look this up.
Napic boys?
Oh, yeah, it could be. I'm trying to remember, like, who
Yeah.
on the offensive line.
It's definitely
It's
not someone who's getting tick
not like
right
Eddie
now.
Turek.
No, I think he's
I don't
in.
know. I'll look it up. See if
Yeah,
we got a
I'm
6-7 on the
scrolling.
roster. I'm about to buy a
Is it gonna
jersey.
be, I was gonna say, are you gonna make that your player of the game? We don't have a 67 on our
Oh
roster.
no.
That's amazing. It goes from Brandon Hansen at 66 to Michael McDonough at 68.
We have a 6 and a 7 though. We have Matthew Bailey's a 7, who's and then we have Jaheim Clark. Juice Clark is 6. And there's also another who's on the offensive side that's 6. There's someone else that's 6,
Is
right?
it Ashton Hollins?
That might be right.
Is that who it is? We're just reading. No, there is no offensive six.
Okay, but is there an offensive 7 if Matthew Bailey is 7 on
Yeah,
defense?
Alexander ACJ, Alexander Kepka
Oh,
Jones.
boom. All right. Come for the 6-7 talk on the field pass. The only
And a little
your number one.
roster talk.
Yeah.
A 7-3 team. What's that guy's jersey number? What we need to, oh, here's what we need to have. We need, so you know how Brett, he did this with TJ McMillan last year on like some of the tackle eligible plays where they
A
put a
New
jersey on him.
Jersey.
Yeah, they need to
Ooh.
get a 67, just a blank, because it doesn't have a name on the back. So we just get like stock 67 Illinois player out there,
I
get the
like
crowd on
that.
their feet. They sell that
I
jersey
like that.
because there's no name on the back, so no NIL.
You got
Boom.
the wiggles on the sideline doing the play calls, all going like this, like 6-7. All right.
Oh,
That
okay.
might be enough 6-7 talk, but the
It's
only place
not.
you can get the 6-7 talk, and I think we can also trigger the worst part of our fan base by talking about Indiana and just calling out the fact that, I mean, I put the tweet out there of the fact that I think there's a very small portion of the fan base that is jealous. That's the only thing I could like pinpoint. Like, why is there this angst that we're 7-3? It's Illinois football, and there's like these, I don't know, a handful of fans that are mad that the season's gone how it's gone. And it obviously this team was capable of making a playoff. I don't think 98% of the fan base necessarily expected them to make the playoffs, but the fact that there's a little bit of a fan base that of our fan base that's like really mad about this season is beyond me, and I felt like I needed to call it out. So I think we got a lot of agreement on Twitter, and there was only like one or two comments of people getting mad about it. But the field pass, we talk 6-7, and we know how to trigger the worst fans in our fan base.
Yeah, because like I'll put my hand up. I'm pretty sure that I've referenced Indiana in terms of like some of the misgivings in that middle stretch where we weren't playing that well. And not as like trying to be one of those fans of like, well, they're doing it, so why aren't we doing it? But more of just like, here's what the end goal. And I know that like, see, the thing is that we always caveat this is like, I know Brett Bielema wants to win championships. I know that he's not trying to lose games, but it's when you have a reference point to a team that was at the basement. And yes, they struck gold with, you know, a great coaching hire and then a transfer of team essentially from JMU that turned into them becoming a playoff caliber team that they've then correctly parlayed into an NFL quarterback. So like, yes, everything went their way. And you could try and emulate that, and you're not going to be able to do it with success every single time. So hand up, I know that I've referenced them, but it's more of like, that's just so that you don't get complacent because you don't want it to turn into like I understand that like Brett Bielema keeps up at this pace, there's going to be a statue of him. I'm not trying to downplay that. It's more of just at the same time, I'm sure that there are fans from Iowa or Wisconsin or Michigan State who know that like, okay, you think that you're just going to kind of keep ascending and at some point it plateaus and you want to push past that. So I get like the fans who want to have a higher end game in mind, but you also can't let that rob you then of this being like, we are in the prime Illinois football days. Like this is unheard of. And if there's any kind of joy being sapped, like you can have a critical mind looking forward and understand that bigger and better things can hopefully be expected and should be expected. I don't think anyone would take that away from a fan base. And that's like also just being a fan. But if that is, if you're borrowing from your joy right now to displace some sort of like future hope, then you're fanning incorrectly, in my opinion, because this is unbelievable. Like the fact that we just have this baseline of competency then should give you hope that, okay, if they came in and they made a program that was, you know, at the absolute bottom of the barrel in terms of not just like the Big Ten, but FBS too, like what we're seeing from some of these programs like Oklahoma State and the remnants of the Pac-12, it's like, we were in that sphere. Now that we're not, it's wonderful. And if you don't appreciate that and you're just continue looking for the next thing, you're just not going to have any fun regardless. Like you're just someone who's not going to have. So I not to play both sides, but I think like I can see the people who are like, oh well, yeah, that's like something that kind of stinks that we, you know, don't have that lightning in a bottle. But if that, you know, is robbing you of the fact that we're just sneaky 7-3 and building a consistent second tier Big Ten program, like that's unheard of and that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it comes from the fact that Indiana is considered, I guess, a rival, not necessarily as strong of a rival on the football side of things, but like you see kind of yourself in the mirror. Exactly. A little bit of you know, they kind of were at the basement of the Big Ten with us, and Illinois, like what Brett Bielema has done for this program is incredible. And the fact that Indiana's doing it, I think people take that as like, well, you know, we could have had that, but like what they've done is a generational type of like ascension. Uh-huh. Like we haven't seen that ever. And I don't know, like I liken it to Illinois won the little lotto and Indiana won the Mega Millions. Like we're both, from where we were, like this is incredible. We can go do the things we want to do. We're, you know, I don't know,
going set for life. Yeah, we can make passive income.
They can wear our party shirts millions. At our nice fancy 5-star resorts and
exactly
go out to eat at steakhouses and all that kind of stuff. And like, yeah, sure.
And they own the resort.
They're going to be in they got the penthouse suite. Robert said it best, and I'll credit him for one of the other things he said that I think is a great frame of reference that small sect of the fan base has just forgotten is college football. There's 136 teams, I think, in FBS, and there's 12 playoff spots. You look at every other sport where playoffs is kind of the bar, and it's the NBA where with the play-in games, like 20 out of 30 teams are in the playoffs, and the NFL with all the wild card spots, like half the league makes the playoffs pretty much. And then, so like we're talking about what, like less than 10% of the teams will make the playoffs in this. So the bar is so much different, but there is a fan part of the fan base. And this isn't just Illinois fans. I think this is other fans as well that looks at it as like, well, if you're not in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. And from where we were to where we are now, I think if you were to pause the tape, like people are forgetting that. They're just using hindsight to be like, oh yeah, we don't really care about the fact that we weren't making bowl games. We were losing year after year after year. Like November, we were dreading November. Everyone was on a basketball season in early October. And here we are, 7-3, technically, like we said, a playoff path, still 21st in the rankings with two games to go. Like Brett Bielema's doing everything we could have ever hoped. We were supposed to win. All right, I think Vegas set the line at 7.5, but it was like -180 on the over. So essentially we were supposed to win 8 games this year. We'll be favored in the next 2 games with the chance to win 9 and exceed expectations by that metric, but you wouldn't know it by talking to some of the doom and gloom fans around.
Also, like even the fact that I know that the Lions come down in this Wisconsin matchup, I don't know why, but it started at 10.5 at least. The fact that the likelihood of you being double digit favorites in the final 4 games of a Big Ten season, like you throw that out the window that, oh, you got lucky with the schedule. Like, sure. But like an Illinois team being ranked by or being favored by double digits against Big Ten, 4 straight Big Ten opponents, or 3 of 4 Big Ten opponents, even if I give you Wisconsin, like that in and of itself is a metric that should not be taken lightly, should not be taken for granted, should be something that shows the health of the program. And once again, like I feel like I've probably been more critical. Not that you haven't voiced concerns over the defense, but like I think sometimes we get into the weeds, and I love talking about how like, oh, maybe it's on an A to B thing, or it might not be an A to C thing. It might be an A to B, and then there's eventually a B to C thing. But that should not cloud any kind of judgment of the fact that we're firmly in the second tier of the Big Ten. Like that's something. And also, like, even thinking out generationally, like, yeah, I know that there are still some misgivings of maybe fan etiquette at, you know, big games, or even just like how we're, you know, I know Thanksgiving break with Northwestern games was always like poorly attended, and I'm sure it won't even with a night game upcoming against Northwestern at home. Like you might not have a bunch of students in the crowd, but I think what you're doing in terms of establishing a program floor is building future generations of Illini fans, because either the people like us who have kids that then raise them as proud Illinois football fans that can watch a great product, then, you know, spur generations of football fans to come, and not just basketball fans. And then the people who are like yearning for that to come back, and either a little bit older than us, or the kids who are at school right now who, yeah, maybe they don't know how good they have it, but if it continues on, then the buy-in continues. So it's like you're setting yourself up for success for hopefully decades if this maintains its success. And that's like the whole thing of, I will take some Brett Bielema loyalty that maybe costs you a win or two a season. Because it's going to get you, you know, a Luke Altmaier that sticks around for an extra year instead of going hunting millions in the SEC. So like stuff like that, where it already is program altering, but it can continue to be program altering to where the point, like you get some kind of rabid fan base that then has resources that would be unforeseen, you know, for an Illinois football fan in 2017, 2018.
Yeah. And everything I had said earlier was not to say there isn't room for improvement or this team, or, you know, that everyone needs to be out parading down Green Street saying mm-hmm. that this is the best football team they've ever seen in their entire life. But when you have a guy like Luke Altmaier, you can have problems on defense and you can overcome. There's no recipe that says you need to have this ranked offense and this ranked defense for us to be satisfied and like for you have to cleared our bar. Our offense has far exceeded expectations to make up for some of the, you know, give back that the defense, you know, has lacked. So I, like to me, I people have this vision of it needs to look like this. We need to get stops on this side. And we need, like, there's this demand for perfection. And this is an imperfect sport with college athletes playing a game with an oblong object that takes funny bounces and, you know, refs making calls, a game of inches. And I don't know, like, if you take a step back from every little play call or, like, I don't know, overanalyzing every single thing, which we're guilty of. We'll look and, you know, extrapolate.
That's
things
why we have a podcast.
We're not seeing. But if you just take a step back and say, what were we six, seven years ago? And what are we now? It's night and day. And I think every fan should be able to see that. And that's not to fansplain to people, like, here's how you fan. We know what we're doing and you don't. But, like, you guys got to chill out a little bit when you're with your evaluations. There's going to be 135 teams that don't win a national championship. And I'm sure fan bases will be upset about that. There's only one team that can win every year, but 7-3 sitting here in November feels pretty good. And you talked about Wisconsin. I think we kind of did the Freaky Friday swap with them. They're 3-7. We're 7-3. That used to be us.
Yep.
Looking at Wisconsin, 21st in the country with, like, you know, a good bowl game to come, thinking like, oh, we have no chance in this game. And the roles have reversed here and it feels pretty good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I think the final thing that I'll put as like an overall point before we get into any kind of Wisconsin talk is, like, I feel like this also, like, where we're ranked in the college football rankings, the eye test matches the results. Like, we're seeing a playoff caliber offense with a below average defense, and we're ranked. It's not like we're wasting it to the point where, like, you have, I don't know, DJ Lagway comes to mind as, like, a guy who, or Lenore Sellers, like, these were guys who were touted as, you know, NFL surefire high, potentially Heisman candidates, who are getting wasted in the SEC because they're, you know, that's like program related, but still the fact that, like, they had those expectations and they didn't meet them and are kind of wasting these guys who have, you know, unreal talent. It's like, I don't feel bad in the sense that Luke is not getting to a playoff, which sucks likely, but at the same time, like, he's going out there and balling and, you know, putting up numbers and we're still winning a bunch of games. It's just that, oh yeah. Like, if you were to look and say a playoff caliber offense with below average defense is just inside the top 25, I'd be like, yeah, that matches up exactly with what we're seeing. So, like, I can't find much fault for, like, us underperforming. I feel like whenever I look at the post game win expectancy, it's like we're either 100% that we should have won or like 15% that we should have won.
Or
so
less.
It's like, yeah, exactly. So I feel like this season has played out true to form, and, like, anyone who has a real axe to grind, I don't know it might be deeper than just Illinois football. Like, yeah, we might need to talk about some other things in your life so that we can find your happiness, because there's probably some other things going on. And I know that you're looking at Illinois football as a release, but if Illinois football was perfect, I don't know if that would solve things, because we might need to talk a little bit more in a psychological realm, but that, I digress. We'll get, like, our AI backgrounds to have, like, a therapist's couch or whatever. and we'll do some, maybe a fun series in the off season. If we're still finding fans that we need to address and maybe bring on the pod to talk them off a ledge, because it's a 7-3 season where you're favored in the final two games. Like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I do want to, you invoked South Carolina when you said Lenora Sellers, and I was thinking about the trajectory of those two programs from where it was a year ago. And there's one other team and name I was thinking about. Remember Kansas when Lance Leipold went, and we were like, well, we want, you know, maybe we missed out. We should have gotten him. Yep. And he was looking good in his first couple seasons. That team sputtered. Jalen Daniels is still the quarterback there. And I think they only have 5 wins at this point in the season. And, like, there's got to be some perspective when you take a step back to look around. College football is hard to win a lot of games. And unless you're in the top tier conferences, which we're in, like a Big Ten or a SEC or even a Big 12, like, winning a lot of games in those conferences are hard because there's so many good coaches. There's a lot of good talent. You know, classes grow and mature, and you have guys who play together. And one year you have a, I don't know, a Maryland with a bunch of seniors that has a good year, and the next a team like Maryland struggles. So it's hard to maintain success in those conferences. And I was looking at Kansas the other day. Like, remember 3 years ago, the angst and people being like, "Man, we messed up. We took Brett. We could have had Lance." And look at how they have this quarterback who's electric, and he's going to win a Heisman. And here we stand, 7-3 on the heels of a 10-3 season. You know, staring down the barrel of another good bowl game.
And honestly, like, they've been in a lot of close games, but that also might speak, like, you compare the one score record of a Lance Leipold coach team versus a Brett Bielema coach team, and you might say that some of that is luck, and maybe in a couple of those games for each coach, you can say that, yeah, they got unlucky in some games, we got lucky in some games, but you have enough of a sample size where, okay, maybe this is something endemic to the program, and that's, you know, a testament to Brett, and I'm just so happy that he's our coach. Like, I just love that he's, and the fact that, like, I know that Cignetti is locked down. I know that Elko, you know, got a contract extension, and you got a bunch of the, and like Freeman's probably sticking, like all these names are sticking around. And that's not to say that Brett doesn't deserve a big raise, but the fact that, like, I'm very confident that as long as Josh Whitman is around, that we're going to have Brett Bielema. It's just like, it's so enjoyable.
Can we, before we dig in on Wisconsin, can we talk bowl games and playoff ranking? Like, sure. First of all, 21, can you do something for me? That's, I like to see that the college football playoff finally got it right after last week, the first ranking being like, what is going on with this? Because, like, yeah, maybe we weren't a 20, maybe we weren't 21, but I thought should have been 24 or 25 last week. When you look at the numbers and you take the emotion out of it of, oh, and I think strength of record too, doesn't necessarily take in, when I was doing my research on it, it's kind of an opaque calculation. It's not, it's not that there's no algorithm that's like, here's the formula and this is how we get to our number. So there's a little bit of guessing or a
couple plugs.
To figure out what all is being incorporated into it. But I was doing a deep dive into strength of record, and they were saying that margin of victory isn't really taken into account, but the reason being is the objective of the game is to win by one more, or to score one more point than the other team. So it's more forward looking to predict, you know, teams that may have success, and it's certainly taken into account in SP Plus and all those other rankings. But when it comes to strength of record, it's more about who you beat and who they have beat and kind of strength of schedule and those kind of things. And, you know, seeing us at 21 is, I think, a testament to the committee getting it right, and the numbers, all the different metrics that do their most deserving or strength of record calculations had us somewhere between like 17 and 23. So I wanted to say 21, go on record and put it out there. And I was like, I feel like I'd look like a clown if we don't somehow make the rankings, because the previous week we didn't, but enough teams lost. And I think, I mean, them putting us ahead of Mizzou, and that's what I was going to get into real quick. My bowl game, just throwing this out there, just a thought. We played in the Citrus Bowl. We won't be invited back because they don't do the same team twice. We don't make the playoff. That would be the next logical one. We're obviously not going to get that invite since we were there last year. LiveQuest Bowl had us previously. I assume Michigan, let's say they lose to Ohio State, which who knows the way that series has gone recently. But if they don't get in the playoff, I assume Citrus Bowl goes to them. Maybe like Washington or USC. USC might get the ReliaQuest. I would love to see Illinois, Mizzou in the Music City Bowl in Nashville. You imagine the fan base would be able to travel to that
quick Midwest drive.
Kind of, I mean, there's a rivalry that we have these games set up over the next few years, although they took back a couple of those future matchups.
Took out the bookends,
But Illinois, Mizzou game in Nashville, I think would be a blast for both fan bases and would be an incredible matchup, you know, on the field as well.
I would also, and this is my ignorance of the SEC standings as they currently reside, but like, it would be kind of cool, even though it'd be a quasi home game, to play Vandy in that game. Just because, like, there would be so much juice for it being a quasi home game, but it also being close enough that we could drive, and then you'd have like a nice split, and it'd be a great matchup against like now your odds of winning that are probably not as high. But they also, if you look at South Carolina last year, like Lenore Sellers was all the rage and Diego Pavia definitely more so and more justifiably so. But getting a team like that would be kind of fun. I just like,
Here's what I'll say about that real quick. I was in the ocean earlier, and there were like a group of middle-aged men. I think they were from like Oklahoma, maybe Texas. They had those southern drawl accents in there. I overheard them talking college football, and they were talking about, one guy said, nobody wants to face Vandy. He said that Pavie kid, he kept calling him Pavie. He said that Pavie kid, he's Johnny Manziel too. He's unbelievable. And I was like, this guy doesn't know that it's Pavia, but they were very much SEC guys. Although I think one of the guys was talking about Oklahoma State. He might have been an Oklahoma State guy, but they were just talking SEC football. And his stance was that nobody wants to face Vandy. So there is a chance Vandy's still sitting there, I think 14th in the rankings. They play Tennessee. I think they play Mizzou and Tennessee to finish up the year. They very well could win those games and end up in, but I think it would be a fun matchup if they did lose to see Illinois against Vandy. I don't know that I want them in Nashville because I don't want that home
It would just
cooking
be
for
like,
them, but
the
I would play
environment.
them. I don't know. I think my number one like realistic bowl game matchup right now is Illinois Mizzou Music City Bowl, but I could also see us in the Pinstripe Bowl depending on how things shake up. And we could go to the ReliQuest Bowl again. I don't know how much excitement that would drum up, given that I know it's a big bowl game, but there's just like the, we already did that. Maybe give us something new that the fan base might rather have, a Music City or a Pinstripe Bowl. But Music City, I think, gets the best turnout of Illini fans and is just the easiest travel to and is a fun destination as well. So that's what I'm at this point in time. Stamp me in for a Mizzou, Illinois Music City Bowl.
You definitely wouldn't want like a you wouldn't want Tennessee in the Music City, because
No.
that would be like they would get the environment boost, but then also just like the craziness of that program's
Although,
history.
think of all the
Oh
orange
my
in that
gosh, yeah.
stadium.
You wouldn't be able to
Whew.
tell. Those two pants like that's like almost the inverse of what I feel like the bowl games always like they love putting Alabama versus Michigan. Like didn't they do that last year? I wouldn't be surprised if they like try to shoehorn that in this year just with a different bowl name. Like
Yeah.
it that but that also is like it is a very appealing aesthetic matchup for the uniforms and the helmets. But then you
I
get
always think
Illinois
of,
versus Tennessee.
the double orange. I always think of the Jadeveon Clowney hit against Michigan. Which bowl was that? That was down in, is that the Orange Bowl? That was the Capital One Orange Bowl. And it was a maroon team against the blue and the maize and blue of
South
Michigan. And
Carolina, Michigan.
that game was electric too. But yeah, it's fun to think of all the possibilities of the different SEC matchups and who we could have. And Tennessee is very much kind of neck and neck right now in the rankings that we could see ourselves. Although I think they end up getting plucked for a Citrus Bowl or ReliQuest or something along those lines. But Vandy, Mizzou would both be intriguing, as I would sign me up for that right now. Although playoff hopes still alive, so don't sign me up for that yet. We still could get a couple losses. We get USC to lose a game. They play Oregon still. We get who else? We get Michigan to lose to Ohio State. And next thing you know, we are fourth in the Big Ten. And we're in that discussion of like, should there be four Big Ten teams in the playoff? Right now, I think there's five SEC schools in, and only three are there three? Are there three Big Ten teams? Or I think there are three Big
I
Ten
think it's
teams
only
and
three
five
Big Ten teams.
SECs. But I just want to be that fourth Big Ten team, so we can be like, look, here we are again, Illinois football right on the cusp. We got to talk about us.
I almost don't want like there could be some mucking up of the Big Ten SEC matchups. Like if you do have the bottom kind of fallout, like if USC somehow beats Oregon but then loses, and then you have Oregon kind of falter, and then Michigan loses, then you have like maybe only two or three Big Ten teams. So then you get us pushed down that much farther. And like you said, like if we keep rising and ascending with wins, then maybe it doesn't even matter, and we still get those preferential treatments. It's just that I hate that. There will be some viewing of uniforms and helmets, and not necessarily looking at the actual squads. And so we'll probably get passed over because there's some better looking matchup. But not necessarily why you called, but still very fun that, like, yeah, we're 7-3. We can talk about these high-end bowls against SEC teams, because we're not the players, so we can think ahead and we can talk about the fact that we're, probably favored by almost by at least one touchdown, if not more, in the upcoming games. So that's just something that I'm glad that, I love doing the pod. What is this, our sixth season? And so, any chance to get hop on the mic in even October, November in those years was always a treat, and it's a privilege and a blessing that, I'm grateful for. I know you're grateful for, but the fact that, like, we get to do it with a 7-3 team, so much easier. It's so much more fun talking about bowl games than trying to, like, drum up some, like, and not necessarily drumming up, like, fake rage, but just the fact that I would always have to drum up some emotion, being like, what's going on? Why can't they do the things? It's like, why
Yeah.
did they're just so undisciplined and mental mistakes. And it's like, yeah, sure, I can keep going to that well because it's true and, like, I can't stand it. But it's nice to, put that aside for a little bit and talk about the fact that we're gonna get to play potentially SEC teams in bowl games.
And we just got to win two more. And
Yep.
then we're sitting on that nice 9-3 line with a chance to repeat last year's 10-3. And Wisconsin stands in our way this week up in Madison. Not as much jumping around going on up there
No.
this year with their, what, like they're going through quarterbacks every year. I mean, think back. I feel like, well, Graham Mertz got hurt for a while.
Yep.
He was permanently injured at, other than the one game where he started like 20 completions in a row against us. Remember that? He had like set the
COVID.
record as
Yep.
a freshman. And then
The birth of
who
the
else did
pod.
they have? Tanner Mordecaisman. Remember
Yep.
Mordecai?
Was
He
Jack
got
Cohn
hurt for a while.
before or after Graham Mertz? I think he was both before and then there that first season, and then he
You
transferred to
might be
ND
right.
for a year. Or he was from ND. I
He
can't
was
remember, but
quarterback in that one year where they played the game at Soldier Field against Notre Dame.
Yep.
And yeah. But he got, so you had Mordecai get hurt. You had who else? Tyler Van
TBR.
Dyke.
Yeah, TBD. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're thinking of Van Riemsdyk,
Yeah,
TBR, the
I'm
hockey
thinking
player,
of
Trevor
hockey.
Van
Yeah.
Riemsdyk.
I'm thinking of
Brains all over the place.
former Blackhawks great,
They play a lot of
or
hockey up there in
yeah, see,
Wisconsin.
they do. Yeah.
And then you had Billy Edwards Jr. He was at the Maryland
I
transfer,
mean,
right? And
on
he was supposed
yeah,
to play.
that
It just, they're
yeah.
always, their quarterbacks, they go through quarterbacks like nobody's business. And then last week, lose another quarterback. And now they're on to the starting freshman, starting a true freshman, Carter Smith, this week, I assume.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, it's one of those games I can't figure it out because the line opened at Illinois, a 9.5 point favorite. It's now gone the other way to Wisconsin, or it's Illinois -7.5 now. But when you look at metrics, Illinois is by SP Plus metrics specifically is supposed to win this game by 16.5. So I can't figure out what am I missing? Is there some big injury news we haven't heard yet, or it, are people just disrespecting us and everyone's just like, oh, it's Illinois still, and Wisconsin will probably figure it out.
Yeah, I have no idea why there would be so much money coming in on Wisconsin, especially unless they think that, like, this freshman quarterback with the vote of confidence that Fickell, has these guys playing a bit more inspired ever since they announced that he's coming back, upsetting Washington is, like, pretty good. But at the same time, like, they're not doing anything special. So I don't know why it would move 2 points from the opening line. I don't necessarily care because I also think that this is something where I know Brett doesn't talk about, he doesn't give lip service to, like, the revenge factor. And I know that he still holds his time in high esteem. I know that Paul Chryst is no longer there. Like, it feels like there was enough changing of the guard in Wisconsin's program that, like, the remnants of the Brett Bielema era aren't really there, save for, like, Barry Alvarez still being, associated with the school. But, like, the shift that they had going to Luke Fickell, and this is something, even just you rattling off those quarterback names, that loss of their program identity is what's biting them in the butt right now. Because, yeah, of course you need a good core. Like, seeing Luke go out there and play is not, I don't want to come off as, spoiled by saying, like, oh yeah, well, you lost your program identity, but, like, this is what made Wisconsin passable in terms of, like, you could just bank on the fact that you would be able to rush. You'd have a couple thousand yard rushers. You'd have unreal defense. You'd have a bunch of cheese fed linemen who, you know, could move the pile and also pass protect long enough.
One deep ball threat too. They always had that take the top off the defense, like,
and
50,
one
50
great
ball
possession
guy.
Wide receiver. Yeah, exactly. Like
and the tight
have,
ends.
Yeah, exactly.
The,
like we're building
nine fingered tight ends.
Yep.
Or was Troy Fumagalli? Was he 11 fingered or nine fingered?
No, I think it was nine, right? Because I think I remember being in the NFL for a quick second and then being like, look at his hand. He only has, you know,
Fumagalli.
Yeah. What a guy. What a guy.
Jake Ferguson. They always got that tight end.
Yeah. And like, that's a credit to them. They should have that pipeline.
One other guy I always thought of. They always have one stout defensive lineman that can do a backflip. Remember,
and
how
they always
have a
have
nose
fullback.
Tackle that can do it.
Yeah, who also doubles as a fullback. Yeah. That guy, he's also getting in snaps at the goal line when they put two fullbacks in, and one of them is that defensive lineman because he just
a
wants
Samoan
to hit someone.
Defensive lineman that can do a backflip.
The one Samoan they get in the program. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
see,
Luke
like,
Fickell's gotten him off that blueprint. And now they can't win a game.
And now they're like, oh, our quarterbacks. It's like, yeah, that's not to say that the quarterbacks aren't hurt. Like, I'm not, but if you're putting so much reliance on that when you had the blueprint going a certain way, and I know that this was trying to get them to the next step, but like, I feel like you don't necessarily, it's kind of throwing what you know, and like, you had all that, and then you just try and cultivate it. So then you get that quarterback in there. You don't need to go full dairy raid. You don't need to go full reliance upon a quarterback, but you then just obviously take that sell of, oh, I made a playoff in Cincinnati and I'm going to be able to, I got Desmond Ridder to the NFL. Even though, you know, obviously he hasn't done much, but like, you can still sell that you have the potential to make a quarterback. But that's just like, okay, that's our last missing piece. You're the last missing piece. Look at all these things that the fact that two guys who are running an Illinois podcast can run off a whole squad of great players that Wisconsin historically always has. And just like, you're the last piece. Not that I'm sure that they were trying to make that pitch to guys like, you know, Paul Chris was probably trying to make that appeal. But like, to Graham Mertz, but at the same time, like, you can't lose that identity completely and then just be like, oh, well, our quarterback's hurt, the sky is falling, we have no floor, because then that's just you losing your identity as a program. So I feel like that's where they are. It's kind of like you said, the roles have reversed, where we didn't really have like an identity as a program for, you know, many, many years. It kind of just felt like it was vacillating between maybe you're going to try running quarterback, maybe you're going to try and get the pocket passer. How good is the defense going to be? Are we going to get a defensive guy? You know, like, these, now it's set in stone that it's the Brett Bielema way. But I just feel like they're, and you know, it's still in any given Saturday league. So that's not to say that you're just going to waltz into Camp Randall and walk over them. But I'm hard pressed to think, especially with the amount of Wisconsin transfers that we have, that there's going to be a little extra juice in this game and that the boys can't take care of business.
I will say credit to the Wisconsin AD for retaining Luke Fickell, because I feel like we're in an era where guys get like two seasons and the fan base calls for their head and they get axed and go on. Like, I respect that they're giving him the opportunity to say, like, okay, we're gonna let you try to build here and see if we can start improving. Because I don't know, you know,
they knew it was gonna be a tough year too.
Yeah, and the hardest schedule in the country. Like,
even if they had a healthy quarterback,
the quarterback issues, obviously, the strength of schedule being number one in the country, like, it was set up to fail from the start. So the fact that they're giving Luke Fickell that opportunity to see what he can do, you know, in a subsequent season, I think is the right move. And isn't often, I don't know, the move that's, it's just not often the move that's made by athletic directors when they feel the pressure. So credit to them for keeping him. I think he is a good coach, and we'll see if he can establish his culture, but hopefully that culture establishing doesn't start for another year or two, because I mean, 7.5 points is, that's close to being a pick 'em game. So it's not, certainly not going to be an easy test, but you get to play a freshman quarterback, a team that's, I think, mentally beaten down. They played this tough schedule. They're not in the bowl picture at this point anymore either. I assume you're going to start working in some players, some of the younger recruits that you want to get on the field because you're trying to retain them. And like, I think Illinois is the seasoned team here with still a lot to play for, playing motivated. I think we'll ultimately get it done. So I might as well just go into my score prediction. Give me Illinois 38,
67,
6, 7, 38 to Let's get weird. Give me 38-11, Illinois winning. I think we do win this one big. Like, I could see us running the rock hard. I'm gonna go with Cayden Fagan as my player of the game as well. Give me 19 carries for 147 and 2 touchdowns for Cayden.
Woo! Woo! Yeah, that boy's balling then, if that's the case. Boy, that would be great. If he kind of does like what Aiden Loffrey did last year and he s finishes the season strong and hopefully propels him into next year, that would be wonderful. I will follow your lead in terms of a bigger win. I think that we cover this game. I think it's going to be 42-6. I'm
Ooh.
going. Yeah. I
So
like
we both said earlier, this isn't going to be some easy game. Illinois is playing a team. I said, 7.5 point spread, and then I ended up picking us to win
Yeah.
by
Well,
what,
I think that
four
like they still
scores.
could get us, but I think
Yeah.
it's going to be more of like, to your point, like the role reversal of like when Wisconsin would come to what was formerly Memorial Stadium, it'd be like, well, maybe we'll catch them. And then it just would
Yeah.
turn into like, no, they're playing keep away and they're running the rock and we're not doing anything offensively. We can't sniff a first down. Them turning to a freshman quarterback and not really having the juice on, like, I think their top running back is hurt. I don't really know if they've got much by way of weapons at wide receiver that are fully polished.
Vinny Anthony.
Well, yeah, but I was going to say my lead in is it would really be a shame if they had a guy like Colin Dixon, who is my player of the game or pick of the week, I should say. I think that he's going to go off. I know Hudson Clement has gotten, his flowers, and I love to see that. I absolutely love to see that in terms of a transfer guy come in that was pretty highly touted and had, the not only the measurables in terms of, size and speed, but also the production at West Virginia coming in and convert that into what has been a very productive stretch the past couple of weeks. And Hank Beatty has gotten his flowers from earlier in the season. I want to see those guys keep getting fed because I'd love to have, multiple 1,000-yard receivers or something like that. But this just feels like a Colin Dixon type game. So I'm going to go with him having 8 catches, 100 and I'm not going to copy you. I almost went 140 something, but I was like, no, Dan just did that.
167.
No. Eight catches for 67 yards? No.
Yeah.
And then 3 touchdowns. No, I'll go 8 catches for a 112 and a touchdown. And my Mikey specific stat of the week, bringing that back from the dead. One pass breakup. He's gonna have one where, like something gets batted up. Wisconsin gets, a hand on the ball and it's kind of floating up in the air and awareness from Colin Dixon, he just comes in, bats it down. And that's it. He just breaks up a potential pick from a Wisconsin corner. And that's how specific we're getting this week.
Sign me up. I just feel like we'll know. Give me two possessions of Wisconsin offense, and I'll know how this game's going to go. Because if they look clean and are running the ball effectively against us in those first two possessions, I think we're in for a long game. But if our defense can get off the field and their quarterback, as a freshman, spluttering it, we're showing some disguises and getting him guessing or getting him a little happy feet in the pocket. I think Wisconsin might sputter on this one, and Luke's gonna carve him up. So we'll see. I think we'll attack him pretty aggressively on offense and hopefully ride it out to a eighth win of the season and a chance against a frisky Northwestern team in the final game of the year. It's a home game, but that one I think we'll be in for a little bit of a test.
Oh
So
yeah. What we were saying about Wisconsin, I think actually applies to Northwestern.
agreed. Agreed. But another night game this season, finishing with two night games on the year. Another sign of the strength of this program, getting a 6:30 Big Ten Network start and then followed by a 6:30 Fox game next week against Northwestern to end the season. Like, there's all you need to know about Illinois football. It's late November, mid to late November. We're going to have a couple night games to end the season, and playoff hopes still alive here. So looking forward to another one this Saturday. I got to go watch a Illinois Alabama basketball game right now. That game was literally built for me, and I can't even go. In Chicago, my wife went to Alabama, I went to Illinois, and we're sitting
Just
here
happened.
on our
Yeah.
honeymoon. And we can't even go to that game, like the
Guess you're
one
gonna have to
time our
drink like
teams could play.
five pina coladas to make yourself feel better.
Hey, basketball season can wait when Illinois football is winning games. So a lot more to talk about the rest of the season. Still plenty of fun ahead of us. So we appreciate you as always for tuning in to the Field Pass. Thanks, and go Illini.